Today on Vox Talks Economics, how does your neighbourhood affect what happens in the rest of your life? Welcome to the first in a series of Vox Talks episodes based on the most interesting presentations from the CEPR Paris School of Economics Symposium 2024. My name's Tim Phillips. Imagine someone tells you you've won a lottery. You're moving to a new house in the same city with the government paying for 90% of that house. But how big is this prize really? The housing might be better, but where is it? What's the neighbourhood like? And will that ultimately be more important? Gabriel Ulissea of UCL is one of the authors of a paper that examines the impact of a massive social housing programme in Brazil and the impact on the people who now live in those houses. Gabriel joins me now from Rio, I believe. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics, Gabriel.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here from Rio indeed.
Doo doo bang. Gabriel, this is all about a program called Minha Casa Minha Vida. When was this created? What's the idea behind it?
So it started in 2009, and the idea was basically to reduce the housing deficit, which is massive in Brazil and other developing countries. As you may know, like huge inequality, large poverty levels still, and many people living in substandard conditions. So just to give you a big number, in developing countries, around 30% of the population lives in slums, which is like pretty dire conditions.
Yeah.
So the idea is to reduce that and provide, you know, more disadvantaged households with the opportunity to have better housing with property rights. It was, as everything I believe in Brazil, was very large scale, supplying houses to a large number of households. Until 2018, it was 5 million houses and nearly 15 million individuals. So that's, quite large, around 7-8% of the population.
That is a huge fraction of the population that has moved houses because of this program, isn't it?
It is, yes. And it was implemented in different states and in different cities, always financed by the federal government, but always also in partnership with local governments from local municipalities, and also bringing in the private sector. The private sector was actually the one doing the construction of the houses.
That for anyone that's been to a city in Brazil or has seen photographs of a city in Brazil, the inner city's pretty packed with housing already. Where are these new houses?
As you can imagine, not in the prime locations of the city exactly for the reason you just mentioned, but also because of the cost. So in Brazil and other developing countries, in contrast with some richer countries like the UK, if you think about London, the public housing units are oftentimes at the heart of the most affluent neighborhoods. That's not the case in Brazil. That was not the case typically in developing countries because of the cost, and especially given the scale of the program in Brazil, they were placed in peripheral areas of the city. So like the farther away from the business centers and the most affluent neighborhoods.
So for the people who take up this offer, who have moved to these new houses, what sort of housing, what sort of neighborhoods are they moving from?
They are moving typically from not the best neighborhoods in the city, like typically the more disadvantaged, less affluent areas. That's just because they cannot afford living in the prime locations in the prime neighborhoods. But also because, in particular in Rio, where our study focuses on, because of geography, many of the slums are actually located in the middle of the most affluent areas of the city. So even though the living conditions in slums are not good at all, the surrounding areas are quite rich. When you measure the neighborhoods where people are coming from, it seems that they are coming actually from better neighborhoods to the ones they are being relocated to.
Yeah, this is something that comes up time and again, doesn't it, in developing countries, that although the housing may not look from the outside extraordinarily good and living conditions may not strike us as being perfect, the communities sometimes are surprisingly well organized.
Precisely, yes. And the social capital, as we like calling it, but exactly the fact that you know your neighbors and the community as a whole support each other, that actually it's a valuable asset in itself and can help in substantial ways, you know, contributing to welfare. So when people receive the offers of these houses, which, by the way, are all much better than the housing conditions that they had at first, and we can see that in the data, like there's an improvement in terms of number of rooms and bedrooms that people have access to. They are spending substantially less in terms of monthly payments towards housing because they were paying rental before or they were paying larger mortgages. When they moved to these houses from the Minha Casa Minha Vida program, they actually heavily subsidized. Mm-hmm. So the monthly expenses drop quite a lot, which it's more income in their pockets, but also they start spending more money in transportation because now they have to commute way longer and much greater distances mm-hmm. to get to their jobs.
I see. So on the plus side, they're spending less in rent, they get a much better house. On the negative side, they're moved out of their community and they're moved to a place which is remote from any of the places they would want to be for either work or any other reason.
Exactly. And actually, this cost of disrupting or even cutting the social ties that they had in their previous homes, that's been shown to be a negative effect of these programs in other contexts.
So you tried to measure the outcomes for people who have moved to a house under the Minha Casa Minha Vida mm-hmm. program. What sort of outcomes are you trying to measure here?
The two main ones is what happens to formal employment. Because Brazil, or probably all the developing countries that I know, has a very high proportion of the labor force working in informal jobs, which is mm-hmm. jobs that are not protected by the labor regulations, they are not protected by the minimum wages, they're not covered by Social Security and unemployment insurance. So that's the first outcome. And we are in a very good position to measure that because we have the universe of formal contracts in Brazil at all times. Mm-hmm. So we can see that very clearly in the data. Also, we have administrative data from the federal government in terms of who are the beneficiaries of Bolsa Família, which is the largest and most important conditional cash transfer program in Brazil, one of the largest in the world. And so that's another especially important outcome because if you leave Bolsa Família, it means like, in a sense, you're leaving poverty because you're no longer eligible to receive that benefit. So that's kind of like a transition out of poverty that we can also see very clearly in the data. So I think these are the two main ones. Apart from what I told you, that we can see the housing conditions, it's very imperfectly measured, but we can also see informal employment in the data, but it's self-reported, so mm-hmm. you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Our sister podcast, Vox Dev Talks, has featured Brazil and its social programs many times. Two recent examples. In February 2023, Dave Evans and Lícia Lima spoke about the impact of a public lottery to provide childcare in Rio. And in September 2022, Iogo Brito and Paulo Pinotti spoke about the relationship between job loss and crime. Search for Vox Dev Talks to find these episodes, wherever you get your podcasts.
So the first thing that occurs to me about trying to do this research is that the decision to move house, well, it's not typically random, is it? So how can you make a causal connection between moving to a new house under the program and the outcomes that you get?
So this is the core challenge that the whole literature on housing programs and neighborhood effects more broadly faces. Like people choose where to go, people choose where to live. So what's beautiful about this program is that the federal government actually requires that nearly half of all the houses, all the units, should be distributed randomly through a lottery.
Wow.
And that's a federal lottery that's extremely transparent. It's very reliable. So there is high trust in this system because it's been running for years for other purposes. And we focus on the city of Rio because in one lottery, not only they randomized, they drafted individuals to receive a house or not, but also conditional actually receiving a house, you were randomized across six sites mm-hmm. in three neighborhoods. So that allows us to look not only at the overall effects of the program of receiving a house, but also to which neighborhood you go to. And that's extremely important because we don't know much about like how the characteristics of the places where these units are built, how they affect the outcomes of people.
It's almost like they did it with economists in mind, isn't it? So you told me about the access to this data that you have. How much do you capture about the economic status of the people who are moving and the work they've done? Because I guess you need to know what they were doing beforehand as well.
Right. As I said, like we know very precisely whether people are working formally or not. If they're in the formal sector, we see them. But of course, because of high informality, we might not see everybody at baseline.
Sure.
However, even though it's a high informality country, people go in and out of the formal sector quite a lot. So effectively, we see 80% of all the people that sign up for the program, 80% of them we see in the formal sector at least once before the program. So that's already quite a large coverage. And then we also have the universe of the more disadvantaged families, because we have the registry of social programs in Brazil. You can think of that as going up to the 40th percentile of household income. So it's a pretty large share of the population and basically the universe of more disadvantaged families.
What is the effect on how likely someone in your sample is to be employed?
When we look at the overall sample, mixing the more and less disadvantaged beneficiaries, we see what basically the whole literature has found, which is either a zero effect on the probability of being formally employed,
Wow. Or
even a slightly negative effect. Mm. And now you may wonder why the negative effect. Well, exactly because of where these units are constructed. They are constructed farther away from the business center, farther away from the formal jobs. That would explain the zero effects. On top of it, as we already discussed, there might be the negative effects of disrupting the social ties and the social networks that they had in their previous neighborhoods. When we move our focus to the more disadvantaged families within the beneficiaries, the picture completely changes. Now we actually see a positive effect on the probability of being formally employed of 4%. Now, what's most important, perhaps, is we find a decline of 11% in the probability of being a Bolsa Família beneficiary, meaning 11% less likely to be receiving these conditional cash transfer programs targeted to the poor. If you combine the two results, people are getting better labor market outcomes and they're moving out of poverty. And that's entirely driven by the formal sector effects, because we don't see any effect on informal employment.
When you have those neutral, negative overall effects, people are still changing jobs, I imagine, because they've probably moved a very long way away from where they were before. The new jobs they're doing, are they better jobs? Are they worse jobs?
Now, you touched a very important point, because when we look at the overall effects in the short run, meaning 3 years after they move, the effects are precisely negative,
mm-hmm.
around a decline of 1% in the probability of being formally employed. When we look at the 3 years following, so 6 years after the lottery, these effects go to zero. And the reasons that people are exactly adapting, as you mentioned, people are switching jobs. People who receive the houses are more likely to switch formal jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They're more likely to switch to jobs closer to the housing units. And they're also more likely to find jobs in neighboring municipalities, because these units are constructed very close to the western border of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, conditional on finding a job, when we looked at the types of jobs they do, there's no change for good or worse. They're mm-hmm. working similar types of occupations at similar quality of employers and earning the same wages on average. And the reason is that these individuals are mostly low-skill individuals that tend to be employed in minimum wage jobs. So it doesn't really matter which job they have. The conditions are similar. It's really how close they are to the jobs.
Now, you mentioned that this intervention was also randomized across the different housing projects. Did you find that it mattered which housing project someone was allocated to?
Absolutely. And this is the set of results that I think I like the most.
Yeah.
So there were three neighborhoods, so it's not hundreds of them. You can think about them as different treatment arms, because they offer really different sets of characteristics.
Huh.
We can have three neighborhoods, and we can really bundle neighborhoods one and two as being kind of similar, meaning they offer better peers, the levels of income, education of people who live in those neighborhoods, much higher than those you find in neighborhood three. They also offer better amenities. They have comparable crime rates across these neighborhoods. However, neighborhood three offers much better labor market access, meaning around neighborhood three, there are many more formal jobs available to those low-skill individuals, because they are not located in the city of Rio. They are located in neighboring municipalities. And by chance, this is what we found in the empirical setting. Now, when we estimate the effects on formal employment and on whether or not individuals are in Bolsa Família, all the positive effects are concentrated in neighborhood three, meaning you only see the positive employment mm-hmm. outcomes in neighborhood three. You only see the reduction in Bolsa Família beneficiaries in neighborhood three. Neighborhoods one and two, you don't see anything, or you see negative effects on employment. Now, this is super important, because there is a large and long-standing discussion in what are the traits of neighborhoods that matter the most. And the literature tends to focus on poverty rates or income levels as kind of a sufficient statistic for everything that is good about neighborhoods. At least in our context, it's the other way around. The average income or poverty levels do not predict well labor market outcomes for individuals who are randomized to these neighborhoods.
As I understand it, a feature of the labor market in Brazil is that many people get access to jobs, are recommended to jobs by family and friends. They've now moved very far away from those family and friends. Does destroying that social fabric matter in this case?
Yes, that's something that we were quite concerned, as in we would really wanted to see whether this was the case. And to our surprise, actually, we don't find any differences in effects. So we can look at two dimensions of distance. We can look at distance to previous jobs that they had before the lottery. That would speak more directly, perhaps, at the networks that they have in the workplace. We don't see any difference. So people who used to have jobs closer or farther away from the lottery, they perceive the same labor market effects. When we look at distance to previous homes, again, we don't find any heterogeneity there. Like, so the effects are essentially comparable whether you were living closer or much farther away. And that was very surprising to us because of the previous literature results and also the very convincing economic arguments for why you should observe these potentially heterogeneous effects.
So we have some results that perhaps you expected, some results that seem a little bit more surprising to me. I guess it's important to find out what mechanisms are causing these outcomes. What candidate mechanisms did you consider here?
So we consider the main ones that have been already examined in the literature, which are the quality of your peers, the quality of your neighbors in this case. The quality here is measured typically by income or education levels. That's what we can observe in the data. We can look at the level of the housing units themselves, or we can look at the neighborhood level more broadly. We also look at crime rates, because as you can imagine, this can be quite disruptive. Amenities, as in the presence of parks, but also nurseries, preschools, schools, hospitals, and labor market access. Now, all of these are hard to measure in the sense you need a lot of data at a very fine geographic level, but labor market access is particularly painful to measure because what you need to do is to measure the distance from every residential zip code to every jobs zip code in the city of Rio and surrounding municipalities.
Wow.
And you have to do that filtering for jobs that are relevant to this population. So it doesn't make sense to consider college educated positions. So we have to filter that out. So you compute that for all the zip codes in the city, and then you have to weigh that by the number of people living in each census tract that aggregates the zip codes. And by doing that, we can create a heat map for the city of Rio in terms of labor market access. Now, it's really, really crucial to do that because otherwise we wouldn't be able to separate the, as I said, what I call neighborhood three that has a much better labor market access compared to neighborhoods one and two. In the map, they look kind of close, but they are not because actually it takes more than an hour to travel from one to the other using public transportation. But also they change dramatically in terms of the characteristics that they offer. The labor market access is a crucial component to determine the labor market outcomes and then also the poverty outcomes that I mentioned.
This is an extraordinary piece of work. What does this model tell you? I hope it tells you something after all this.
Thanks so much. So that's one of the interesting cases where we have a theoretical model to justify why we focus on these dimensions, even though they have been analyzed in the literature prior. The models can tell you different things, but that's ultimately an empirical question. You need data to tell you which one matters the most for these kind of outcomes.
Yeah.
If I may add, which is one additional dimension that I think it's quite key. This is something that we are not able to do in this paper, but I think it's very important, is that we are looking at outcomes of adults in an almost contemporaneous way. Like we're looking at 6 years after, so that's relatively short run. But what could be really important here is that the neighborhood that provides the best employment outcomes is the one that has the worst amenities, in particular, worst access to schools and hospitals. So there could be important trade-offs here in terms of the effects on the next generation, on the children of these families. Because on the one hand, they are growing up in potentially richer households because now they have better jobs, they are less poor, et cetera, et cetera. But they have potentially also worse local opportunities to invest in human capital. And what the effect on the long run on these children could be actually quite important to look at.
And what you're seeing from this is it really is all driven by this labor market access.
Yes, completely.
Given all of this work that you have done, there is an existing problem, is that even in your sample, there are thousands of families that have already moved across Brazil. There are millions of families that have already moved. Is there a policy route to make these existing projects more beneficial to the residents?
I don't think there is any easy fix. The most obvious one would be to improve transport infrastructure. So actually you effectively make these places less remote, less detached from where the jobs are. So that would be a natural way to go, but that's very expensive. It takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you could try and do is target these more remote communities and help them in the process of finding jobs. That could be using the knowledge that we have accumulated in the economics literature in terms of helping these individuals to be more effective in the way they search for jobs, either by providing them with workshops on how to prepare for interviews, how to most effectively search for jobs, how to provide credentials to these individuals. And then a third component, given how remote these places are, is the actual cost of commuting to work or commuting even to find those jobs. So policy could also try and focus on that to at least help them overcome this cost of searching for jobs.
So let's assume instead that I put you in charge of the future of Minha Casa Minha Vida, a job that, based on this research, I think you're very well qualified to do, Gabriel. What would you change about the way that it creates housing and allocates housing that might make it work better?
That's a very relevant discussion to present-day Brazil because President Lula announced that he's bringing back the program, but not only it was interrupted under the previous president, he wants to bring it back, which is great news, but he wants to increase the income threshold for eligibility into this program, which I think it's a mistake given our results, because it's exactly the more disadvantaged individuals, the poorer individuals that benefit the most. Probably it would be better to spend more money per house constructed for lower income individuals and improve the placement of these units. The second thing I would do, I would hire a team of data analysts to construct the labor market access measure that we have constructed for Rio for the whole of Brazil or for every area that the government is considering expanding the program to, to identify low-hanging fruits in terms of neighborhoods who seem more remote, who are less expensive and yet provide good enough labor market access. And I would prioritize those areas. By doing that, you will be doing two things. One is maximizing your chances of providing good labor market opportunities for these families. But also by doing that, you also automatically consider better connected places and not necessarily by income levels. And that's what's key for this population.
Ultimately, Gabriel, Minha Casa Minha Vida, it was meant to create social mobility in Brazil, and Brazil really needs social mobility. Based on your results, has it failed at that task?
I'm reluctant to say it did, because face value, some of these results actually indicate higher mobility, because these families, like the poorer ones in particular, they now have more access to formal jobs, they are less likely to be in Bolsa Família, but we're not looking for long enough to really say, yes, this program was a success in terms of upward mobility. As I said, it would be very important to look at the children as well, because then you can see whether, in particular, intergenerational mobility has been fostered or not. The other thing is whether or upward mobility, the bang for buck, it's good enough. When it comes to poor countries, not only whether the program was effective or not, but also the cost effectiveness of the program has to be discussed. Because there are different ways to achieve upward mobility, poverty reduction. It's not clear to me this program is the most cost-effective way to do that.
Gabriel, thank you.
Thank you so much.
The paper is called Unpacking Neighborhood Effects, Experimental Evidence from a Large-Scale Housing Program in Brazil. The authors are Carlos Alberto Belchior, Gustavo Gonzaga, and Gabriel Ulisea.
This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review us, and then other people like you can find our podcasts too. Next week on Vox Talks, we're back in Brazil. What has been the impact of affirmative action designed to help people with disabilities to find jobs?